This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio. And it's a unique one because I'm actually completing the broadcast via cell phone in a family waiting area of a maternity unit of a hospital where my daughter has given birth less than 24 hours ago. So I'm a grandma the second time around, and it's a very happy day for me, of course, and for our family. And as I think about all that God has done to bring me and our family to this place, I just rejoice because there are so many, I know, listening to this broadcast who may have an abortion in their past, and it's impossible to think about bringing it up within the family circle. And that was true for me for many years as well, so I do understand what that journey is like. But God, as I say, has brought it to a pass that in our family we know what happened in my life, and we know the redemption that is available to all in Christ, and we're able to celebrate new life without undue sadness about things that have happened in the past. And that's my wish for you, and that's one of the purposes of this broadcast, that we would be able to complete the grief and resolve the guilt that may occur after abortion. I know some are saying, and it's actually become popular in some circles to say, that abortion doesn't impact anyone's spiritual or emotional health going forward, but that certainly wasn't the story for me. And the purpose of our broadcast is to not only prevent abortion, but to help those it has hurt. We've heard many stories of those who are trapped for different reasons in the aftermath. But that's not the end of the story. So I encourage you to keep listening and definitely to stay with us for this particular broadcast, because we're joined this time by Lauren Roman, whose story is one that is quite unique, but also embodies so much hope and so much good news. Lauren, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much, Kim, and I'm really excited to be able to share this special moment with you. Congratulations, Grandma, for the second time. That's, I was like, what an exciting thing to get to be a part of.
You and I have gotten to know each other through the years, through the pregnancy help movement, because I first heard your story, I think, probably at a pregnancy center conference. Mm-hmm. And I know that you've done a lot of speaking. You've shared your story in dozens and dozens of venues. And it's one that includes great success for you at a pretty young age. People might not be familiar with the fact that you are one of the former stars of a national soap opera. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was very ironic because, of course, on the outside everything looked fantastic, and on the inside I was suffering a great deal. I started on All My Children, which was a soap opera on ABC, when I was 19, and I had actually watched the show growing up with my mom and my grandmother. So of all the acting jobs that I could have gotten, it was just an absolute dream come true. And like I said, everything looked great on the outside. You would think I would have been really happy and fulfilled. But I was actually struggling with an eating disorder and depression, and that was largely caused by my abortion that I had had a year before starting the show. It was the end of my first year in college. My one and only boyfriend, who was very pro-life, until we were in that situation, and we were both tremendous, you know, overachievers. And I mean, I found out that I was pregnant my second semester of my first year in college, and I had a 4.0 that semester. Like, that's the kind of student that I was. I just grew up as, you know, the good girl, like boringly good, really close to my family. Oh, we don't have to worry about that one. And I think that just kind of lulled my parents into a false sense of security, and we never really had those conversations. And so when that happened, the end of my first year in college, it just, I couldn't believe that I was pregnant at 18. I felt like a statistic. I felt stupid. I felt, you know, I was devastated and just thought, this cannot be my reality. And I called a confidant who said she could help me. She knew of a good abortion clinic, and she would take care of the arrangements. I didn't have to, you know, do any of that. And when I talked to my boyfriend, as I said, he reacted the exact same way. He was a devout Catholic, and we both believed abortion was completely wrong, but felt absolutely trapped. And so, you know, went through that terrible experience and buried that, struggled a lot that summer. I had a summer job, and it seemed like everyone in the office was having a baby or their kid was having a baby, and it was really really difficult. And so, like I said, fast forward, my second year in college, relationship ended, we went our separate ways, as so often happens in those type of situations. And then lo and behold, I got this acting job, and I moved to New York at 19 to live my dream. And I think people don't realize many times the pressure that goes into those type of jobs in the industry. A lot of pressure to look a certain way, to be a certain size, and that definitely triggered the eating disorder. But underneath all of that, you know, there was a deep sense of self-condemnation that stayed with me for very many years.
First of all, someone once said to me, once the middle class rejects abortion as a way to protect their daughters, we will see the end of abortion in America. And I think that, you know, I was in the launch phase and 23 years old, but I definitely felt I was in the same position you found yourself in at 18, just ready to launch. Everything was in place to secure my middle class future and success.
Right.
And, you know, as I look back on it, I think what, you know, how absurd to think that one baby could bring poverty into a prospering, flourishing family.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a form of such deep deception that we,
absolutely,
you know, allow that fear to dominate us. Would you say that that's true as you reflect on your experience too?
Yeah, it's a really powerful statement and a really excellent point, because abortion is presented as a false solution, you know, and it doesn't make the problem go away. It doesn't erase it. It doesn't, you know, it just creates a whole new set of problems. And for me, I had grown up being such an overachieving, authority-pleasing, you know, I was all about that. And for me, the idea of just disappointing my parents was beyond devastating. You know, I couldn't imagine. I had, you know, always been a great student and done dance competitions and sang, and, you know, I was Little Miss Overachiever, and I just could not hit. My parents basically never had to punish me, because just the thought of disappointing them, you know, was punishment enough. And sadly, I was so afraid to let them down that I didn't even give them the chance to show me love. And I had created this need for perfection that, sadly, it wasn't something they put on me. It was something I put on myself, because when I finally did tell them several years later about the abortion, their reaction was, "We are so sorry that you didn't feel like you could come to us." That was the first thing that they said. And it was so evident that, yeah, obviously it wasn't an ideal situation, but had I gone to them, they would have been supportive and they would have another grandchild right now, you know? It's very sad, I think, the situations that we put ourselves in and we cut ourselves off from potential sources of hope and support because of our own fear. Like you said, ultimately it boils down to fear.
Mm. The other thing I want to zero in on about the before part of your story is you mentioned the pressure that the career path that you were on created in your life to look a certain way and to be a certain way. And you mentioned an eating disorder. And I know that eating disorder is a common problem after abortion. We see that with Dr. Teresa Burke's work. You know, she's a mental health practitioner. And she started the Rachel's Vineyard Retreat because I believe she was in an internship position with an eating disorders group, and it came forth in a conversation, in a therapy session, that all eight of the women who had eating disorders had an abortion in their past.
Wow.
And she went to her supervisor and said, "I'd like to explore this." And he said, "Absolutely not. That's not what we're here for," and so on. And it ended up, you know, now it's an international ministry to help women with weekend retreats to have really an experiential healing.
I did not know Rachel's Vineyard started that way. That's very powerful.
And you know, but so she's a practitioner, and she has absolutely seen this in practice, at least anecdotally. And you know, I'm still coming to terms with eating issues in my life and finding help through various means. But if someone is listening to this program and has never made that connection in their minds, I assume that as you're sharing that with us, that you've found some healing in that area. So was there a connection between that, or was it simply that you feel that because you were in the public eye, there was more, that was more the root of the problem with the eating disorder?
It definitely wasn't the root. It was the trigger. That's how I view it. You know, it was the trigger and, you know, my lifelong need to please. Basically, it was the quote-unquote authorities at the show, the producer, "Oh, we want you to work out with this trainer, you know, just to tone up, you know, no big deal." And it turned into a very extreme approach, which then set up a cycle of deprivation and binge eating, because when I was on this very restrictive diet and ridiculous exercise program that this trainer had mandated, having the perceived support of the authorities in my life at that time behind her, it was like, well, this is what I have to do. I'm on TV now. I can never have a piece of bread again. You know, it was so extreme. And of course, I was living alone in Manhattan without a support system, and too much of a good girl to go, you know, do drugs or get drunk somewhere. And food just became the source of comfort. And as I said before, I believe underneath all of that was a deep sense of self-condemnation, and also sort of an inner rebellion against what was being put upon me and what I had put upon myself. So there was this standard of, oh, okay, I have to do what people want, and I have to achieve, and I have to da-da-da-da, and then this sort of rebellion against that. And for 5 years, really, it took over my life, and I went through those cycles where I was either, quote-unquote, on track, very extreme, you know, diet, very extreme exercise program, or I was off track and compulsively binge eating. And my weight yo-yoed. There was a point at which my job on the show was in jeopardy because I had gained quite a bit of weight, called into the executive producer's office. You can imagine how fun that meeting was.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And we kind of come to that point. I think one thing that's really important to recognize is that food and body image issues can be life-controlling issues, even if they don't rise to the level of a clinical disorder. A massive amount of women, an overwhelming majority of women, have food and body image issues. And I think because our culture, our society is so, you know, diet, exercise, health, youth obsessed, that it's easy for people to just kind of stumble along and think that that's normal, you know, and not realize how it's affecting their lives. And there are so many things wrapped up in various forms of eating disorders. I actually facilitated a group for 2 years that was focused on Christ-centered recovery for food and body image issues. And there was an anorexic who came into the group who basically admitted she was trying to commit suicide slowly. You know, it's just terrifying how those things can be expressed, whether we're punishing our body, punishing ourselves, trying to put on weight to protect ourselves from, you know, there's just a variety, as you know, a variety of iterations. And I would want to say to anyone out there listening who feels that issues in that area are affecting their quality of life, that the only real healing comes from the inside out. Period. End of story. You know, the only way to really have healing and freedom in those areas is to deal with the root cause. You cannot deal with the symptoms. You have to.
Right. It's not about the food.
Exactly. It's never about the food. It's never about
right.
the food. So to
and
really
that's
pursue
a,
emotional and spiritual healing.
If that's a baffling statement to you listening, I would direct you to Overeaters Anonymous, OA.org would be a place to start,
mm-hmm.
or your primary physician to get a referral for counseling, because
mm-hmm.
this is something that you don't have to struggle with alone. And so, Lauren, what changed? I mean, what gave you the freedom to be able to recover, the freedom to be able to speak openly about an issue that many people still feel is too shameful to even look
right.
at, much less be able to discuss? Where did your faith take you?
Well, basically, when my contract ended on the show, I was there for 3 years. I moved from New York to Los Angeles, continued struggling with the same issues because I was still, you know, facing those pressures in the industry and still dealing with those internal root issues that I had not addressed. And I did start going to a Calvary Chapel church in Los Angeles that was just absolutely revelatory for me, because I had been a Christian from a very young age, but I was, you know, Jesus and I are cool. Yeah, I don't really need to read the Bible or, like, do anything else. If I got hit by a truck, I'd be going to heaven, you know. It's just really no concept of life change or growing, discipleship, any of those things. And I felt very enslaved by depression and the eating disorder. And the first Sunday I went into my church, the message was on the year of Jubilee, which is the year in Jewish tradition when slaves are set free. And I just wept. I was like, oh my goodness, how did the pastor know exactly, you know, what I needed to hear? And it just was completely life-changing for me. I got a life application study Bible. I started pursuing discipleship, and I had connected with OA in New York. It had been very helpful to me. And when I moved to Los Angeles, I tried a few different groups. I never really felt connected. And then as I started getting involved in my church, I thought, well, this is where it's at. You know, this is going to fix everything because now I'm following Jesus. And it just doesn't necessarily work that way. You know, we are holistic beings. You have to address these issues emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, physically, you know, all these aspects of who we are. And so I eventually reached a breaking point. I had put on a lot of weight in a very short period of time. I just kind of snapped. And so rather than swinging back and forth, I just went to the extreme. And it was, you know, just binge eating all the time. And I was looking into treatment facilities and went to the head of my women's ministry, who was a professional therapist, and asked for her help. And she said, you know, let's try one more thing before you go the inpatient facility route. Try putting together a program, your own sort of tailored, get a psychiatrist, a good therapist, a nutritionist, group therapy, you know, all of these pieces, and just try that. And I did. And I slowly started getting recovery and freedom in the area of those food and body image issues. Certainly wasn't a smooth path. You know, there were two steps forward, one step back, that kind of thing. But as I started experiencing freedom in that area, I really realized that the abortion was an underlying cause of what was going on, and I needed somehow to deal with that specifically. I had, you know, therapy and all of that had been very helpful, but I was like, okay, how do I deal with this particular thing? And had been wrestling with that, and through a small group at church, God introduced this woman who was about my age, young woman. And lo and behold, she was the executive director of the Westside Pregnancy Resource Center. And I was immediately, you know, just zoned in and was like, here's what's going on, and I don't know how to deal with this. And she said, well, you know, we've got a post-abortion Bible study starting up in a few weeks. I was like, sign me up. Like, I don't know if this will work. You know, I remember... we had to write down goals going in, and I knew God forgave me. I knew my parents had forgiven me. I just couldn't forgive myself, and I thought, you know, I can't be claiming life in Christ if I'm still beating up on myself and punishing myself for this. That doesn't make sense. And so when I wrote down those goals, one of them was to be and experience real complete freedom and forgiveness. And I hesitated to even write it down because I thought, like, how could that possibly happen? And it did. It was a very difficult process, and I would say to anyone who's ever maybe considered that they might need healing in this area and has not pursued it, or they think they've just successfully set it aside and it's not really affecting them, there is stuff under that rug that you have no idea it's even there. And it is a difficult process, but the only way to be free of it is to dig it up and deal with it. And I finally was able to do that, got that closure. You know, we had a memorial service and honored our children. And I began speaking with their sexual integrity program at the center. And that was when I started sharing my story, because I thought, hey, if somebody had said something like this to me, maybe it might have made a difference, you know? And so whether it was church youth groups, we even spoke in the L.A. County public school system, you know, so imagine talking to those kids about sexual integrity and abstinence. But it's like, hey, this isn't what you want for your life. you know, you have the opportunity to go down a different path. And so that was really what motivated me sharing my story. Galatians 5:1 became a life verse. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
Lauren Roman, and again, it's cradlemyheart.org to find links to her ministry and her speaking and all of the various things that Lauren's involved with today. Now stay with us. Coming up here on Faith Radio, we'll open the phones for your calls. You can join us at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Very happy to be able to say that we have a continuation of our featured interview. If you were listening to the first half hour of the program, we're going to bring Lauren Roman in on a live call to be able to answer some of your questions and continue the story. So without further ado, part two with Lauren Roman here on Cradle My Heart Radio. Hi, Lauren. Welcome back.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that this worked out for us to be able to do part two. Right after part one.
Oh, my goodness. As we were talking and recording that interview, I guess it was about 5 weeks ago now, you know, we both just had a sense that there was so much more to say. And we didn't really talk about the fact that you're a singer and you have an indie CD that you put together of songs of healing and hope. And I want to talk about that because you've graciously agreed to give us some of those as our pro-life resource tonight. So if you would like to receive, and we're going to hear some of the music, but if you want to be sure that you can become one of our winners tonight, here's our phone number, 1-800-811-3003, to get a copy of the CD from Lauren Roman, Songs of Healing and Hope. Tell me about the inspiration for this.
Well, it started really when I started speaking in the pro-life. I had mentioned being a part of the abstinence education team at the center that I worked with in Los Angeles. And after I relocated to Nashville, I thought, you know, I really have a heart for this. I'm really wanting to get plugged in. And through a friend, was able to meet someone to get plugged into the banquets, pretty much the banquets that pregnancy centers do for fundraising. And when I went to my first conference, I was just amazed at all the resources. There are DVDs and books and fetal models and, you know, just all kinds of amazing resources. And I didn't really see any music. And I thought, oh my goodness, like this is a void. You know, this is something that's missing because, of course, having gone through that recovery process and knowing how difficult it is, just the idea of having something as sort of a companion for the recovery journey. So when you're struggling and you're going, okay, is there a light at the end of this tunnel? Have I gone too far? You know, can God cover this too? And just needing that reassurance. And so God gave me the vision for Songs of Hope and Healing. And I thought, okay, like that's a passion. That's something that fits And that's a need that hopefully I can meet. And so I slowly started gathering songs, and it took quite a while to get it finished. But I finally did, and as you said, released it independently. So it's available online, and I'm able to sell physical copies of five or more, with the goal for people to be able to share those, whether it be with a group or, you know, just other people that they know need that message of hope and healing. There's only one song, actually, that is specific to pregnancy loss. And the songs on the EP basically are sort of an arc of recovery. So the songs really are for anyone who is struggling with that sort of that feeling of, you know, will I ever be free of this? Can God take care of this? Those kind of things. So they're very universal songs, and it was very difficult to get it done. The enemy attacked quite a bit, and you know, feelings of doubt and insufficiency, and this isn't going to be good enough. What am I doing? And God was just going, you know, you need to be obedient. I told you to do this, and you need to put it out there and trust that it will accomplish what I want it to accomplish. So, it's obviously very, very near and dear to my heart, and I'm really excited to be able to share it with your listeners.
And we're going to listen to the one song that you referenced, a portion of it. It's called Child of My Heart. So let's listen, as we'll give you a chance to call and win a copy of Songs of Hope and Healing by Lauren Roman. And our number is 1-800-811-3003. And then we'll give you a chance to tell the story about this song, Lauren. Let's listen to Child of My Heart.
This world was not for you to see. My arms were not to hold you close to me. But still, I know you are child of my heart. I weep. All we will not share, for sweet memories that won't be there. But even through this dark, child of my heart, I see
beautiful. Lauren Roman with Child of My Heart. Lauren, this song is very healing. And I think that what I'd like to have you address is all of the theology that is packed into the truth of this song. I know that the beginning of healing after abortion for me was this supernatural knowledge, this spiritual knowledge that I do have a child in heaven. And the scriptures affirm it, and you know, I've been affirmed in that by people and through prayer and the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. But it's something that so many people still don't know and don't understand. Even pastors don't know and don't understand all of the truth that's packed into this. Tell us the story about Child of My Heart.
Oh my goodness. It's just so precious to me, and absolutely a God thing. It was written by just a fantastic songwriter, singer-songwriter named Sarah Hart, and who's actually been Grammy nominated for her work. And I just happened to be speaking with her one day and mentioned, oh, I was just started, this was at the very, very beginning, oh, I was, you know, going to get into this pro-life speaking and, you know, speak for fundraisers. And so when I brought up pro-life, she said, oh, gosh, I have a song I should send you. I said, that would be great. And she sent it to me. And when I listened, I just, you know, boo-hoo crying. I mean, it captured the sentiment so beautifully of the loss and yet the hope of heaven, because you can't just focus on one or the other. You know, you have to sort of embrace the reality of both to be able to go, yes, this is a loss. There is something missing, but praise God, I have a child in heaven and I am a mom, you know, not on this planet, not for me. I haven't gotten to have any more children, but I do have a child waiting for me in heaven. And after I heard it, I said, gosh, Sarah, this, you know, this song is so beautiful. I would love to do this song as part of my presentations, and could I do that? And so she went back to her producer and had the track made for me, because it just was such a beautiful track. I said, gosh, could I have that to, you know, sing along to that? And now have been able to share it with thousands of people through speaking, and as I give my testimony and when I talk about the recovery process and us ending with a memorial service, that is when I sing the song, because I think it just captures that so perfectly. And I asked her, Sarah, okay, I know you're a really gifted songwriter, but how could you have written this so perfectly not having gone through it yourself? And she actually walked very closely with a friend of hers who had a miscarriage, and she wrote the song for that child. Her name was Abigail Grace, and she sang it at her memorial service. And so that is where the song came from, and the lyrics, you know, are so perfect, whether through miscarriage or abortion, any sort of pregnancy loss. Like you said, knowing the reality and resting in that, and praise God, as believers, we get to look forward to that reunion one day. I mean, what an amazing thing.
1-800-811-3003. To win, all you have to do is join us and say hello. Greet Lauren, thank her for the song. We have three copies, which she has graciously provided for us tonight. Songs of Hope and Healing, and that song was titled Song, A Child of My Heart. Lauren Roman is, if you're just joining us, you've got to tune in for the podcast, which we'll have posted early this coming week. But Lauren was a star on All My Children at just age 19. She had a major role, but behind the scenes was suffering in silence after an abortion, which she had at age 18. And then she had many emotional issues and mental health issues. And in her recovery, Lauren has become proactively pro-life, and I want to talk about that, Lauren, because Hollywood's not a real friendly place for the pro-life worldview, for one thing.
No.
But, and you're still a working actor, actress, you know, I mean, but God has just really been impressing upon my heart lately that in the command, thou shall not kill, we cannot walk away and say, okay, I did my part. I mean, even of course, if we have an abortion in our past, we can't say that. But even if we've been granted, you know, the gift of repentance, the gift of faith and full restoration, as I feel you and I both have, each one of us as Christ followers has an obligation to love life, to protect life, to be proactively rescuing those who are at risk. And I see you modeling that. I see you doing that. And I want to just hear about your inspiration before we go to the break. Just a real quick answer as to, you know, what motivates you to keep on with this now that you are recovered?
You know, I would say a couple of simple truths. One is that abortion hurts women, period. So we're not only taking the innocent lives of children, but we're destroying the lives of of people, and it has a generational impact. You know, like I mentioned earlier, my parents have a grandchild missing. So there's a member of our family that's missing, and that single choice that people think they're making has impact beyond what they can imagine. And two, part of the reason why I feel so passionate about pro-life ministry in particular is, regardless of the law, regardless of politics or any of that, there will always, always be a need for pro-life ministry. There will always be a need for pregnancy centers, people who need support, who need hope in that time of crisis and confusion. And so the legal state or who's in office really doesn't matter. There's always going to be a need for that. So I love being able to be a part of supporting pregnancy centers and that work to be able to, one, get the truth out, that the illusion or the lie of choice, or that's protecting women's rights somehow, is just so false and so deceptive. And two, as I said, just supporting people in need and just loving people, just simply loving people and meeting them in that time of greatest need.
Mm. Lauren Roman, our guest, and we have copies of Songs of Hope and Healing, her indie CD, for our first three callers who will join us on the air to say hello or ask a question. 1-800-811-3003. We'll go to break, give you a chance to call here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Preciousness from dust, please don't stop creating me. Your love offers the chance to rewind to innocence, reborn perfect as a child. Oh, your cross, it changes everything.
Lauren Roman, and that is from her CD, Songs of Hope and Healing, and that's our pro-life resource tonight at 1-800-811-3003. If you'd like to receive a copy, just call us and say hello. Lauren's live on the air with us tonight. And Lauren, as we listen to, that was called Second Chance from Songs of Hope and Healing. And by the way, you can find Lauren's websites as well as information about her speaking at cradlemyheart.org. We've got all the links that you'll want there, along with Lauren's full bio. If you're just joining us, she made her mark on All My Children at the tender age of 19, was on the show in a major role for 3 years, and all that time there was fallout happening in her life from an abortion that she'd kept hidden from everyone close to her when she was only 18 years old. And I say, Lauren, that, you know, your grit comes through now in everything that you're doing in the healing phase of your life, in the recovery phase of your life. And when I think about this, you mentioned in our recorded interview that started the program tonight that the big issue for you spiritually was forgiving yourself. And we talk about that topic a lot on this program because some people say, well, you know, theologically, there's no such thing. We can't forgive ourselves. We need God's forgiveness. And yet I hear people say this. And I also hear that somehow God will honor that process and they can begin to treat themselves in a new and better way as a result of faith. And so maybe unpack that for us a little bit about the process of forgiving yourself or what you feel that really entailed.
Well, I'll tell you what was really a breakthrough for me. And first of all, it's interesting to hear, you know, what you just mentioned about the theological basis of, oh, that's not, I don't, anybody who would say that that's not a thing has clearly never experienced something in their life that they haven't been able to forgive themselves for. Because I just can't, having experienced that in such a strong way, and like when you said that's something that you deal with a lot, I was thinking, I can imagine, because this is, you know, something that is so very difficult to not hold against ourselves, even when we know that we have God's forgiveness. It is a different process to be able to forgive ourselves. And what really was a real breakthrough for me, when we were going through the post-abortion Bible study and we got to the section on forgiveness, one thing that always stuck with me was the epitome of forgiveness being Jesus on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that basically everything boils down to, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The person who made the arrangements for me, she didn't know what she was doing. She thought she was helping me. I thought I knew what I was doing, but clearly I didn't, because in hindsight, knowing what I know now, I never, ever would have made that choice. So clearly I didn't know what I was doing. You know, so when we look at things through that lens and know that, you know, when somebody is hurtful, when someone makes a destructive choice, whether that's us or someone else, to be able to sort of go to that picture for me of Jesus on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that was a real, as I said, that was a real breakthrough moment for me, and helps me on an ongoing basis, because just, you know, things like that crop up in life. And it's very hard. I feel like it's very hard, especially to forgive ourselves for something sinful that we know was an intentional act. I remember having a conversation with a woman who literally was taken to an abortion clinic at gunpoint. I mean, literally forced to have an abortion. And I remember thinking, the loss is the same, having lost a child is the same, but the degree of the guilt cannot possibly be the same, because I, quote unquote, knew what I was doing. You know, and not only that, but I knew that it was wrong in my heart. So I think that's something that I think there are very few things that kind of rise to that level of something that would be so hard to forgive ourselves for, very just egregious sins. But taking a life, especially a life we know that we as mothers are designed to protect, it's a brutal, brutal thing. Well, and
your answer is lovely, because first of all, I'm just always so amazed at God's individual creativity, how he deals with us with his word. I've never heard anyone talk about that part of the life of Christ and that section of scripture applied in the way that you applied it for this problem. And it's this healing balm, you know, but I would also underscore that what you've said is absolutely true, but it's also true that it's a universal reaction when parents lose a child to feel guilt, because somehow we think we're the last line of defense. And even if, because I know women who were deeply coerced with violence, and they will say, but I should have died in that child's place. You know, I mean, the guilt is just almost bottomless. And I think that what you've said is so helpful. I know it's going to be helpful to someone listening tonight who needed to hear that. And I think that, of course, we can forgive ourselves because we're all in relationship with ourselves. And so, you know, the gamut of emotional reactions to things occurs. So, Lauren, we have just about under 2 minutes remaining. And what I'd like to do is give you the opportunity to close us in prayer.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, Kim. And thank you, too, for pointing that out. That's a really excellent point, that we ultimately take that responsibility upon ourselves and kind of regardless of the circumstance as parents. So I would be honored to close this in prayer. Lord, I just thank you so much for this time. I thank you for Kim's ministry and the privilege to be part of it. We pray that you would get this message to people who need it, who need that hope and healing, Lord, and that you would turn their eyes to you. You are our source of comfort and hope, forgiveness, strength, and freedom. And we thank you that we are able to comfort others out of the comfort we have received. And just pray that you would just heal our hearts, Lord, and just show us that the next right step to take wherever we are in our journey that will bring us closer to you and the freedom and victory that you want us to have. Pray all these things in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lauren Roman, thank you so much for being with us. Again, you can find all of the links to Lauren's many activities and her joyous spirit at cradlemyheart.org. Please do join us next week. We're here for you, sorting out the aftermath and reminding you that Jesus loves you, and so do we.